Thank you, Ronald. Thank you, Church. Good morning, and I'm glad to be here with you today. And thank you for this opportunity to speak. And I'll try to be a little bit slower for you to be able to keep up with me, to understand. I make some presentation for you to be able to read and understand what I'm talking about here. And I would like to talk about today about our journey. And many people in this world are trying to compare their life with the journey. And for many of the people who don't believe God, it's a complicated issue because they don't know where they're going. Some people saying that in this world people are having wise thoughts, and they're saying that life is a journey, not a destination. Other people saying that sometimes the journey is more important than destinations. And I don't agree with this thought, but anyway, it's all here around us in this world, and people like to express different thoughts and different views about it. And other famous one is, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And I believe the reason for this is because people don't want to think about their destinations. They're trying to find something else in this life and not to think where they're going. And the reason I'm here tonight, because I started to think about it when I was young. My parents didn't believe in God, and I was asking these questions about purpose of our life. And in several occasions, one of my great-grandmother died, and I went to the funerals when I was about 9 years old. I started to ask, and my parents tried to explain me that, well, she had a great life, and she had many kids and great family, and they tried to explain me this way. Then my other grandmother died, and I asked parents again about it, and they tried to explain me the same way. It's the same way. And when I was 11, one of my friends, it was my oldest brother, classmate, but anyway, he was often in our place, in our apartment, and I knew him very well and was friendly with him. And he died when he was 14. And I came to my parents, and we went to the funeral together, and I asked about it again. And they didn't have any more questions, didn't have any answer for me back then. So I was looking for the answer, where I'm going to. And about 12 years old, and I met one of the men whom I met, it was Dimur Ilam, and it was back in Syktyvkar, and he was one of the teachers who explained me about our destination in our life, and introduced me to the Bible. And I started to read the Bible, and we read a lot of interesting stories in the Bible. And as a usual man, as a young man, I started to read the Bible from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis. And the first great story, maybe second great, I think the first one is Abraham, but the second great story of the people who is making journey is journey of Israel people to the promised land from in the book of Exodus. And we read about it, and we read about this people who's trying to make their way through the wilderness. God performed many great miracles for them to go out. It was famous as the 10 plagues of Egypt. It was turning water into blood, frogs, boils, thunderstorms, hail of fire, locustus, darkness for 3 days, and there was finally death of firstborn. And then they crossed the Red Sea, and like the water was on the part of this, as the walls, and went to the Mount of Sinai, getting 10 commandments. And when we get to the book of Numbers, it's starting to feel different. Looks like the people stuck in the desert. Something was going wrong. And as a young man, when you read it for the first time, your first Bible, you kind of expect something different. You've seen so many miracles, you've seen so many great events that's happened, and now they're in the wilderness and something goes wrong. And you kind of think, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong? Why God is not helping the way you as a person, as a man, human being, expect the God to interfere? They send in 12 spies there to see the land. And what 10 of these 12 spies are telling when they're coming back? It's interesting to tell here that the first in Book of Numbers, chapter 13. I'm having a problem here. In chapter 13 in Book of Numbers, if you turn this and go to this Book of Numbers, in chapter 13, I will start to read in the verse 30, where they came and Joshua and Caleb said to the Moses. It was meeting with these spies, 12 spies, and Moses. And Joshua and Caleb telling there in verse 30, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. And other 10 spies didn't have the same opinion. But I believe that Moses was on the side of Joshua and Caleb. So they started to spread bad report about these people. So in the books of Numbers, in just chapter 31 and 32, we are seeing a completely different story. So they started to spread out bad report among the people. As I said, verse 31, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are too strong for us. 32, later, all the people from whom we saw in it are men of great size. And verse 33, later we read about giants, sons of Anak. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sights. So, grasshoppers. It's a small creature. It's really small, and you can compare it visually. It's going to be looking like this. Man of this giant's man and grasshopper. This is how they see themselves. This is what fear makes us to see the things. It was not realistic, because the real size was different. They were huge. Maybe they were twice bigger than some of the people who was making this journey from the Egypt. But twice big, it's not a grasshopper's like this. This is our impressions. When we face fear, when people were horrified and terrified, they're thinking differently. Their imagination plays a big role in their stories, what we are telling other people. So this is what happened back then. And they started to spread this bad report to convince people not to go and complain about it. But think about it. I believe that God has this plan to deliver his people to the promised land. And we know later that he did have this plan and he fulfilled his promise. Something wrong was not with God. Something wrong was with these people and with their attitude, with their hearts. I believe that initially, God has another plan. He didn't have this plan about this golden idol that they created while Moses was out of Mount Sinai getting 10 commandments. It was not his plan. It was people's fear and people's desire to worship someone turns to creating this golden idol instead of worshiping true God. And it was not part of God's plan. So they disobeyed here, and the same way we read in the book of Genesis, the water floods. I don't believe that it was part of God's initial plan of creation to create this earth, to create all the creatures. and people just for the purpose destroying them in the water flood. We know, we read about it, about clear reason why God choose to do this. So we need to understand that it's not God who changed his mind all over again. It's the people. And this golden idol is a great example of this people who so easily change the way they worship God. Let's turn to our passage. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's strong words for me. And it's a challenge to understand them correctly. I do remember for a long time I have a battle inside of me to trying to understand what he's talking here about. For a person who reading the Bible and for the first time, for the second time, for the third time, it's a huge change. We know that in the Gospel of John we read that the Word was in the beginning. And Gospel of John chapter 1, we read about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's a kind of a big change from something that has no flesh and became part of as a human being. But if you think about it, it just changed in appearance. And we as a people do it all the time. Today I'm wearing a suit, but yesterday I went this morning. I was outside running around and near my house where I live, outside the street, and I was not wearing a suit and tie running out. I was wearing a sport outfit. But if I will change my appearance and dress up in a police uniform, will I become a policeman? If I will change something and will be dressed like a doctor and go to the hospital, will I be able to treat someone, help someone there? No. I will be still the same person who I am. But people who will meet me can think about me differently, can think about me as a policeman if I will be wearing police uniform, or if they will think about me as a doctor if I will be in the hospital and look like a doctor, and dress up like a doctor. So it's all about the appearance. And I think that many people are now having troubles to understand Jesus and problems with understanding Jesus because they see him as a human. And he was a human for a short time. But he was not a human in the beginning and he's not human now. In the same passage in Hebrews 13, we read about altar, tabernacle, and animals and blood. What all of this has to do with Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm trying to trying to understand this. I'm using this example of puzzles, and this kind of puzzles that have one picture divided to many, many small pieces. And my kids loves to collect them. When I grew up, we didn't have puzzles, but they have it now. And when my kids were small, they loved to collect this puzzle. But here is when we trying to understand the Bible, especially for people back then in 1990, 1991, 1992, it was like this. It was like a puzzle that we wasn't able to see even a final picture of how it's going to be look like. And there was not so many teachers there who will tell us what the final pictures were. Can you imagine that for almost, it's all, more than 70 years, nobody in Russia was able to preach the gospel. During the Soviet Union, it was forbidden, and it was strictly preached different doctrine. Doctrine that there is no God. Atheism. They would teach about it in schools, in public schools. They would teach about it in the universities. And more than this, when people get a job, they were taught about it occasionally, about once in 2 years. When they got a job from the government, they have to go some classes, and these classes was about atheism. So both of my parents never believed in God, never heard, never was even had an opportunity to read the Bible when they was growing up in the Soviet Union. So after this, in 1991, Gospel Preachers comes, and Dimmer Elam one was the first one who came in Sutivka. And for people who never have an opportunity to read the Bible, it was a great challenge to understand the Bible, to understand Old Testament and the New Testament. Especially as the normal people, we start to read from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis, and facing all these stories and all these sacrifices and everything that is connected with the Old Testament. So when we get to the New Testament, it's completely a different story. But and this, the same problem people had in the first century. People who, the Jewish people, who was trying to obey the gospel. So in 1991, 1992, you can imagine that 10, 15 people came for a short period of time, about maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, baptized 50, 20, 30 people, and they are going back home. So people who are left there have only Bibles back then, and they were trying to understand what the will of God is. So can you imagine this great challenge for them? So we were blessed in Sutivka because of the Bible school, because of the many people who was coming, because of the missionary who came there and lived there full time from America and who was able to tell us what the general picture, what the picture is about Christianity, what is connection between New Testament and Old Testament, and how we should worship God. But many other churches did not have this blessing. So in 1999, I graduated from the preaching school in Sutivka and moved to another place, to the commission, where Americans missionary came one time for 10 days in 2 years. And the rest of the time, people was trying to figure out this by themselves. And out of 300 who was baptized there, only about 8 ladies and 1 man left. And they had Bibles and 2 really, really strange commentary books. Now, because of Eastern European missions, yeah, we have much more literature and much more sources to. But it, back then, it was a great challenge for them to study it. So, in verse 10 and 11, we read about bodies, animals, and what is the connection with Jesus Christ? I believe it's a very important introduction for the next passage in verses 12 and 13. This animals was offering for the sins. It was unclean, and the tabernacle and the holy place should remain clean. They burn these sacrifices outside the camp, as this passage is telling us. This is some kind of a borderline here between clean and unclean. And if you go to the, I don't know how about here, but if you go to Europe, there are many cities that have walls around it. And it was not like in the fairy tales we read now about king and queen and castles. Most of all, most of these walls are for the people who live inside to protect them from what happens outside. Jerusalem had the walls. And many, many cities in the old times had the walls. And some of them are still now, you can see, and you can go some places in Europe and you will see many cities that surrounded, all part of cities surrounded by the walls. This is just a few examples here. But even Moscow This famous picture on TV you see, Kremlin Wall, originally was the walls of the city that protected people who lived inside there. And much later it became residence of the rulers. So if you are a citizen of this city, you can live inside. And if you are making some illegal things, you're making something wrong, you will have to go away to exile and live outside the walls, where there is no laws. So it's just example how we could so fast understand that there is laws inside. Usually there was laws inside, some kind of rules inside, and there was nothing outside. There was nothing out, nothing on the other side of the wall. Now we don't have these walls around cities. But you well aware about this idea about something to protect. I'm not trying to take anyone's side, but if you turn on TV, you hear a lot about the wall that Trump, your president, is speaking. So you know about this, his idea, about his thoughts, what he is thinking about the wall. So there is one law here in the United States, and there is another laws, another language, Spanish language, in the other side of the border. And the same with Russia. There is another law in Russia, and it's not that easy to go to Russia. You have to get an invitation, then you have to get a visa from the Russian embassy, and when you got there, some of your documents could not be good enough, like your driving license is not good enough for you to drive in Russia. So it's a lot of things, a lot of differences between countries. And these walls and these borderlines is to show us what the difference is. So for the many Jews in first century, they did not expect this difference. They have an Old Testament and they worship God this way for many, many years, for almost 15 centuries. And it was hard for them to understand this difference. So this this example is just to show them that the New Testament is coming out of Old Testament. So this offering was a shadow, and Hebrews chapter 10 tells a lot about it. To prepare their mind to understand that Jesus' sacrifice was really important for them. And there, all this sacrifice was not valid up until Jesus died. So they were evaluated. They have a direct connection between these offerings and Jesus Christ. So you cannot stay both in New Testament and in Old Testament. And people there who was making this in Book of Exodus, who was making this journey, they could not go back to the Egypt. Some of them complained and wanted to go back, but they were going to the Promised Land. Their final destination was Canaan, and the Red Sea, Mount of Sinai, wilderness was just the stops on this journey to their final destinations. And we make a lot of stops in our life. And some of these stops we need to make. Like they need to make a stop on Mount of Sinai and get 10 commandments. So sometimes we need in our life to stop and study. And I was doing this back in 1997 when I went to the Bible school and studied there for 2 years to get some knowledge before I will go and preach and teach others. And it's good to make some kind of good stops. But sometimes we do make some bad stops. But anyway, we have to ask ourselves, what is our final destinations in our life? Back in Soviet time, they were telling people that the purpose of their life is to build the communism. And if you ask people now, it depends. Some people, maybe in a joke way, they don't want to think about it. But if they don't believe in God, they will say that it's a graveyard or it's a cemetery. Or some people who are making some big, writing some books, they're saying, I'm trying to leave some heritage or legacy behind me. But what is it for us? Is it heaven and Jesus or not? We often need to get in our physical life. We often need to get from one place to another. How are we gonna learn our way? We ask someone. We're looking for the person who's been there, who's making this journey, and ask him how to get here, how to get to the place we are going to. We ask people, we use some maps. I use a lot of my phone or my laptop computer to see the maps now, because I don't have any paper maps any longer here. But here is a new place for me, and I use it a lot, because this is the first time when I took this journey this morning. So I took a journey from the Heritage all the way to your church, and I took, for the first time in my life, I took this road 72. And I enjoyed this morning because it was beautiful. It was sunny, sun all during the road. And I enjoyed looking outside, and I was counting how many churches of Christ I'm passing. It was really nice. But anyway, we're using maps, we're asking people. And if I put your address here and go in your directions, I do have some options, right? I do. There is a short way and there is a long way to go here. So if I will miss a turn, my GPS will give me some other options. But anyway, my GPS is trying to get me here, because it was as a final destination, the address of your church. If I will go other directions, my GPS will say me to turn around. And as long as my GPS is on, it will try to get me to the final destinations, no matter what I do. Only thing I can do is just to turn it off. But as long as it's still on, it will try to get me to my final destinations. What about our life? Do we have this purpose in our life to get to our final destinations? Do we have this big desire to get there? I've made a series of these Bible lessons about it back home with the young people, with the group of young people, and they asked me about it. Can we have any kind of, on our phones, any kind of application, any kind of app that will be doing the same thing with our spiritual life? And I said that yes, you can. It's a Bible application. You have to understand it. You have to learn how to use this application. But if you learn how to use this application, it will get you to the right place in the end of your life. So I do believe that it's really important to preach the gospel all over the world. And Mark 16:15 tells us about it. It's important to preach here, and it's great that you involve in the work in other countries. Some people think that they could change this world. They have this ambition to influence it so much. And I don't believe that it's our mission. We were told to go and preach the gospel. And it's God and His word is saving people's souls. What I do believe that this world could influence some Christians, some hearts, and through the hearts of Christians, it could influence the church as well. This world has a great influence, and Satan will use everything that he has, every tool he has, to corrupt our minds. In Russia, we have now a big debate about internet. We don't have any more freedom on TV, freedom of speech on TV, but we still can use internet a lot. The government trying to limit it now, and our society has a big debate about it. Because government saying that they're trying to protect people from something bad. That's why they're limiting some access to the internet. But internet and phone and computers, it's just the tools. For me, it's a good comparison with a piece of paper. It's what you put on the piece of paper, how you use your tools. That is important for us. I use my phone today to get here. I have maps on my phone to navigate my physical life. And I have Bible on my phone to navigate my spiritual life. So in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, we read, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul doesn't say that this place where we live now is neutral, not bad, not good. He's clear: do not be conformed. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we also read, "Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And back in our passage in Hebrews 13, chapter 12, we read, Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 12. "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate." What is the gate? The gate is the opportunity to get through the wall. When your president is speaking about the wall on your border, he is not speaking about something, one solid concrete wall from Pacific Ocean to the Mexican Gulf. He is also saying about many gates, many crossing points. And it was so true 2,000 years ago and so true now. So for us to get to the story. So he said that he's saying that here that Jesus suffered outside the gate. It was the gate of Jerusalem. And he was crucified outside this Jerusalem. What we see here in context of this story, back in verse 9, he's saying there, "Do not be carried away by the various and strange teachings." Who is the source of these strange teachings? It's this world. It's all here. So that's why I think in verse 13 we read, "So let us go out to him outside the camp." So where is this? What is the camp for us? It's where all these strange teachings are, this world. So what he is talking about then in verse 12, he is talking about crucifixion of Christ outside the gate of Jerusalem. So who was there? We read about John, we read about Mark, but the rest was not with him. Much later, except everyone except Judas went outside and served him till the end of their lives. Our salvation did not start from something really fabulous, glorious victory. Firework, clapping, banquet, cheers. Jesus was outside Jerusalem gates, crucified with the two criminals. Let's say it this way, criminals, from the right and the left hand. And it was most humiliating and miserable way to die in Jerusalem in those days. So was it the part of his initial plan? If you turn to the Hebrews just one page back, chapter 12, verse 2, there is a saying there. There is saying there, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross." So joy set before him. And I believe this was part of initial plan. So our true faith gets us outside the camp. If we feel comfortable inside, then something wrong. That it's time to think about our way and our final destinations. Chapter 13, verse 13, we read, it's a kind of reminder about it. And what it really means for us to be outside the camp. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, we read, "And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." And here in Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 14, we read, "For here we do not have lasting city, but we are seeking for the city which is to come." He is talking about our destination, about city which is to come. So why God did not send some kind of angel of death and help, and did not help his people to get to the promised land? Nobody, except two men who left the Egypt, was able to get to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. What is so different about these two men? Did they see more miracles than others? No. Did they have any better revelations? No. It was all about their faith. It was about their faith and their hearts. And it's so true now. Back in Hebrews, this book, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God." Well, in the end, let me tell you a little bit story that I had. It's a little bit funny story and a little bit sad story. I often use my GPS, my navigation system, and I use my phone for this. I don't have any device at my car. And the closest airport that I'm going, usually I'm flying from back home, is the Volgograd airport. It's a city, over 1 million people lives there, and this city grew up, and airport, it's not in the downtown, but it's inside the city. And there are no highways there, but there are a lot of many small roads how you can get to the airport. So my phone is able through internet get the traffic information. So there are often, when you get trying to get to the airport, you face a lot of traffic. And when you're stuck in the traffic, my phone will suggest me some other options. If I will stuck in the traffic, my phone will say to me out loud through the speakers that I have found you a new better way to get to your final destinations. And sometimes you have to turn left, to turn right, even to turn around and get to the place where I'm going, to the airport. But I never get to the airport by the car. I'm getting to the long-term parking and leave my car there. So I'll leave my car there, take my phone, turn it off, and fly to the place I'm going. And the first time I turn on my phone is the city, my destination city, my arrival city. And first thing, while I'm still in the airplane, what I'm doing there and trying to turn my phone on to get some messages, to call my wife, whatever. And the first app that comes up, it's my GPS. And it's trying to get me to my final destinations. My final destination was airport of departure, Volgograd, where I was flying from, because I never reached it because I went to the long-term parking lot. So this application comes up and telling me, "I have found new options for you. You will reach your final destination in 15 hours, for example, if I fly to Moscow. If I fly somewhere in Europe, it could be 3 days. And it will say out loud when I'm in airplane because it's on speaker mode there. It's funny, but when I got here, I was flying all the way from hometown through Moscow, and arrived, the first place was Chicago Airport. I turned on my phone, my GPS came up, and it said, "Sorry, there is no option for you to get to your final destination. There is no road for the car to go. There is no bridge between oceans from America to Europe and go to Russia. You can fly. You can take a ship, but there is no road, so my GPS is not able to take me back home." So, if you took some wrong turn in your life, you still have an option to reach your final destination with Christ in heaven. If you did not decide about it, then it's a good time to think what will be your final destination. We know that through the confession, through repentance, and through the baptizing in Christ, anyone could be saved. If you took the wrong turn, it's not too late to change your way. Come out and choose Christ and heaven while we stand here and sing.